It's Thursday, June 19th, 2014, and you're listening to Last Time on Video Games, a podcast about retro video games and sometimes some other stuff. You're listening to episode 67, Cool Boat Bros. Runtime for this episode is 50 minutes.
Hello and welcome to Last Time on Video Games. My name is Jeremy.
Caution, slippery when wet. I'm Tyler.
How do you follow that up?
I'm Zach.
Yeah. You would think you would be good at it by now. You have a lot of experience.
Like, he comes up with new things every time.
I usually come up with new things and he follows me up. He does it without missing a beat.
This is like 50 episodes you've had of experience in this.
The trick is not to imagine it.
Or to imagine it. Won't someone think of the children? Anyone but that guy.
I hate kids.
Kids are the best.
They are delicious.
Did you hear about that 5-year-old who broke Microsoft security?
By putting in blanks?
Yeah. If you put like 26 spaces in a password field for an Xbox Live account,
okay,
it would just be like, yeah, okay, bro, that's your password.
Okay.
So a 5-year-old did it and showed this hole in Microsoft security. So they gave him $50 in 4 Xbox games.
Do they not like do any verification of like different types of characters? Because
I don't know what the problem was specifically.
What, how?
But they patched it since that happened.
I've written so many password parsers. That's so basic. God damn it, Microsoft! You're a software engineering company. How do you keep doing this? Okay. Well, anyway,
they're still making more than we are combined.
What, Microsoft?
Yeah.
As a company, yes, I would hope so.
Their coders are probably making more than we are combined.
All the coders are making more. Yes, I would give every single coder at the company is making more than we are combined. If all of them are combined and all of us are combined, they are more.
Tyler is also a coder for a major company, just a major company that A, doesn't operate here, and B, is going out of business.
Well, you know, details.
Merging, okay. They're doing the fusion dance so they can take on Majin Buu.
Did you see the interview with the CEO of Comcast? Like, going, no, it's okay, because we're in Philadelphia and they're in New York. We're not competing with each other.
What?
That was the reasoning on how they can acquire Time Warner, is because they're not competing.
To be fair, I think there is actual reasoning to be had that cable is now competing with
like Netflix and other services,
but
although those same companies that provide access to Netflix are competing
with problematic.
And that's why the FCC's stance on net neutrality, or as John Oliver likes to call it, cable company.
I guess we can talk about the LCS now. Zach sucked at fantasy. I beat my robot double, and Tyler defeated Zach.
Your robot double.
Yes, because TSM played really poorly, and I put a lot of eggs in the TSM basket.
And although Dignitas are actually good.
You're in first because of your number of points. So.
Yes, I did quite well.
But this week it's Jeremy and my team that I just kind of picked the guys I like the names of.
And you did better than me.
What?
The Besaid Aurochs.
Oh, yeah, the team name. The team name is awesome. This week's roster is mostly comprised of people whose screen names I like. So
I haven't checked since like Monday.
Now, I modified it this morning, and as I was modifying, I'm like, oh, it's a good thing I'm doing this now because it was locking in like an hour. So.
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah,
right,
my lineup is locked in, and it's going to get me stomped by Jeremy's robot double.
Is your robot double the one that's all Cloud Nine, or is that?
No, that's me.
Okay.
No, so, my robot double is Froggen and some people from Fnatic, and
Yes, the robot double is not the one that is TSM with all of Cloud Nine.
I didn't get high.
Who's got high? Do you have
I
high?
I do have.
He had high. I don't know if he still does.
No, I think he's still active on my roster. But
okay.
I have 200% more TSM than you do.
You do. Sad day.
Sadly, I have more TSM than you do.
I could probably get Bjergsen off you for cheap.
Bjergsen's going to come back.
Oh, can you do trades?
You
can. Oh, man.
You can also trade for people on the bench at any time.
Well, that I knew.
I can pick up Hotshot GG.
Yeah, you can. I can pick up the odd one. They're not playing anymore. That's the joke. They did better than Glebe last week.
just ponder that for a moment.
They were talking about it. They have like a pregame show before everything starts, and like projected fantasy points. Last week, Glebe was estimated to get 26 points, and that is not a typo. Got negative 0.26 points.
Well, to be fair, in the Super Week, he was the OP performer of the support category.
Yeah, he did really well. But
how the mighty have fallen.
I think Dignitas, the team, is still available in our league, so someone should probably snatch that up. if they want to be opportunistic. Because Dignitas is for real.
It's got to be better than Fnatic.
Yeah. Doing really well.
I think Dignitas is probably number one in the league.
Yeah, I think my team spot is actually CLG, so maybe I should do that.
Maybe.
I have Fnatic.
That means nothing to me.
They're EU. Therefore, crap.
Oh.
They're one of the better EU teams, traditionally. They've won every single split in EU. But, Zach, what have you been playing? Because I know League of Legends is on the list, because you still have more wins than me.
I now have more wins than you since we last recorded.
That is true. You were catching up last time.
I am now statistically the best League of Legends player on the podcast, with more wins, a higher rank in ranked, and more CS numbers and kills and assists.
I think I have better percentage of wins.
No, you don't. You have a 0% of wins.
Bot games don't count.
Oh. Bot games don't count. We've been over this.
I thought you guys just didn't count them.
No, they don't count. If you look
they're counted
stats,
separately. Okay. You have bot game wins separate from normal and then separate from ranked.
Never mind then.
But I don't know the percentage because it doesn't really keep track of your percentage.
No, it's one of those games where it doesn't show you your losses so you feel better.
Of course, when it keeps track of all of the games you played in ranked, it just doesn't tell you how many losses you have. But it's like, I played 16. I have 9 wins in ranked, therefore I have 7 losses.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you know how many games you have played and how many you've won, you can calculate.
It doesn't keep track of the normals.
Yeah, it doesn't keep of how many games you played in normals.
Fine then.
Which is what I'm currently using to compare myself to Jeremy, because I've been better than him in ranked for a while.
Yeah.
I'm actually the best solo queue ranked player on my friends list out of like 8 people.
I just have to stop being a pansy and play some ranked.
He's probably going to play harder than me. I'm statistically better than you, but I think you're just better at the game than I am.
We're pretty close, honestly.
At least you're both better than Cody.
Yes, we are. You have junglers you can play effectively. I don't right now. Mid laners you're comfortable on.
I don't play a champion unless I'm comfortable on them.
The saddle has to fit just right.
Yeah, it's important.
You need the saddle to fit right because then you have the saddlebags so you can carry people around.
Yep.
What else have you been playing, Zach?
Yesterday I went to Best Buy because I was hunting for Attack on Titan, but alas, they did not have it on the shelf.
Oh, what the?
The dub came out, yes. Tuesday?
The not third.
Yesterday. Oh, like the anime?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I thought you meant the game. I'm
no.
like, I'm pretty sure that's not coming out until like winter.
No, I was looking for the anime. I could have gotten it off the site I go to, because they released it early, I guess.
Huh.
Or something. I think they'd start shipping them out as soon as they get them on hand. But Best Buy didn't have it on hand, so I checked their bargain bin, and Fallout 3 Game of the Year edition was in there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's
with
sweet.
All of, like, the stuff.
Oh, actually, I don't think Fallout 3 is very good, so never mind.
So I picked that up for $16, and I was playing that
it's
yesterday.
Probably worth $16.
Maybe.
Especially with all the DLC.
My problem is that New Vegas is so much better on a fundamental level.
I didn't really like New Vegas, but
the choices
I loved
you make
Fallout
have
3.
An actual impact on the game, though.
But it's a Bethesda game. Well, actually, yeah, no, that's actually pretty awesome for that, so.
It was mostly just the way the game handled in New Vegas. Like, I had a lot of issues just with the different ammo types and all that crap.
I think we've had this conversation on the mics before.
Yeah, so I'm not going to go into it very much, but I just like Fallout 3, so I picked that up for nice and cheap, and
speaking
I started playing it.
Speaking of Best Buy bargain bins, me and my brother went to see Days of Future Past the other week.
How was it?
Very, very good.
Okay.
And we got there early, though, so we went to the Best Buy nearby there. Not even in the bargain bin, on the shelf, they had PS2 games.
I don't
I've seen
even.
Those on the shelf at Second and Charles, but
they wanted
not
$30
on the
for them too.
I don't.
They had
know.
They had a regular Naruto Ninja Storm 3 and something else. And me and my brother are like, "What is this world? Have we been darted into the dark realms?
No, you've gone just, back in time."
Just Best Buy. So yeah, you did go back in time because you're buying physical media.
Okay, fair enough.
I do that all
to
the time.
To be fair, we didn't buy anything. We were there to waste time.
Fair enough.
And there were lots of cheap Blu-rays we almost bought.
I still don't understand the point of an anime on Blu-ray, but that's just me.
Because it could look slightly better. Maybe they had really crappy photocopiers.
Yeah, modern anime does look better on Blu-ray sometimes, but like Dragon Ball Z on Blu-ray, no, there isn't a point to that.
Well, I have like 3 or 4 series now that I have the Blu-ray and
but
DVD
like at
combo
some
packs.
Point... At some point, like, you can only enhance it so much. Like, it's only down to the resolution of the pen they drew it with, so...
To be fair, Star Wars, the original, does look better on Blu-ray. So,
of course,
there's got to be something.
I don't have to worry about that because...
You don't have a Blu-ray player?
One, I don't have a Blu-ray player. Two, unless I hook up that Blu-ray player to my HD TV. My other TV is so crappy, it won't show it anyway.
So, Fallout 3.
Fallout 3.
You having fun?
Yeah. I'm not very far into it yet, because I just got it, like I said, yesterday.
But Liam Neeson was there already.
Was it Liam Neeson?
Liam Neeson's your dad in that.
I knew his voice sounded familiar. Yes, he's gone. I got out of the vault, and I did a little bit of exploring once I got into the overworld, which is In my mind, my favorite thing about Bethesda games is basically exploring their overworlds.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Of course, once you get into town for Fallout 3, it kind of gets into a pain in the butt because navigating the sewers to where you're actually trying to go.
Are you going to be a reasonable person and not nuke the city, or the biggest asshole of all time and nuke it?
I took demolitions as one of my core skills, specifically to... Actually, I'd forgotten about it, but I'm going to say specifically so I could disarm the nuke.
Okay, because no one in their right mind wouldn't.
Of course
not. That's
not
a good evil choice. That's a...
They give you a house there.
Hitler, not Hitler choice.
Some men just want to watch the world burn calories and their fitness instructors.
Even the Joker would be like, no, I'm just going to set a fire on this house and watch it spread. The nuke's too fast. The nuke's too quick. It don't get to savor all the little details.
Yeah, I remember that. I do remember
nothing
the first
like
time
a
we played
of
it.
Skin in the morning.
The first time I played Fallout 3... I was doing it with John. We basically just said, okay, we're going to make contradictory choices to one another when we were going through. So he blew up the city. I didn't.
And then you have to travel 1,000 miles to the hotel and then go up to the 5,000th floor where your room is just to have a house.
Yeah, it's kind
it's
of a pain.
It's also impractical
in
addition
kind of
to being
in
a
the
terrible
butt.
Decision.
Yeah, it's fun. I like the game. I'd recommend it. Obviously, Jeremy feels differently. But then again, we know Jeremy hates Bethesda, so
but
don't
I like
take his
New
opinion.
Vegas. That's like the one game in that vein I like.
So you might like the earlier Fallouts, too. They're not made by Bethesda.
Yeah, I
so.
Know. I've considered playing them. I think they're back on Steam now.
Yep. Now, I figured when Ed came back out, we would have an Edstravaganza.
Okay.
But I think a little bit of FTL. I haven't gotten anything since I last was on the mics. It's not very impressive. I've just been playing it a little bit, so.
I have an excellent FTL story, too.
You want to jump into that?
Yeah, to interrupt. So, I finally got the, tough little ship achievement on the Kestrel.
Okay.
I went out for the express purpose of trying to get it, so I went out and found an automated drone with no shields and let it almost kill me, and then I finished it off. And there was a store right next to me, so I went and healed, and then went off to the next sector, which happened to be right next to a sun, with a ship with overshields, and I was, at that point, not very overshield able to kill. Okay, that was horrible. So I ended up getting in a fight that almost killed me, and just barely managed to get them to surrender, just in time for my oxygen to get blown up after I had already vented almost all my rooms to get rid of the fires that were being started by the sun.
You didn't have a repair drone, or
I didn't have a repair drone. I had two almost dead guys, a broken oxygen and engine system.
Did you have 2 points in the med bay?
I actually, after the battle ended, put another point in the med bay. But
spoilers.
The med bay was also broken, and I also had the pilot, who was in full health. I'm like, okay, we can do this. So I sent everyone to the med bay to fix up the med bay because I wasn't sure that one guy could do it fast enough. The two guys who were low on health died in the process, but the captain got the med bay fixed and everything was going fine, except he couldn't get over to the engines and fix them fast enough to run back to the med bay without dying. So what I'm like, okay, this is a long shot, but I have one hope. So for probably about a half hour, I think the guy's name was Charlie or something to that effect, I ran this guy around to various portions of the ship that were no more than 4 squares away, fixing systems and then immediately running back to the med bay so he wasn't suffocating, and then healing up to full health and doing it over and over again so that I could increase his repair skill enough to hopefully have a chance to fix the oxygen system. Spoilers, I didn't. But it was a really fun experience, if nothing else. I felt I owed it to him to make his death not in vain, and then he died anyway. The other ship, by the way, exploded while I was trying to get his repair skill high enough. So
now I'm sad I don't have an FTL story. I watched an FTL Let's Play of the guy who voices Vegeta from Dragon Ball Z Abridged doing it in character, and his people were Vegeta, Nappa, and Other. And Rockman teleported aboard. He's like, Nappa, take care of them! God damn it, Nappa!
Team Four Star does Let's Plays, and it's usually either Krillin or Vegeta, so yeah. They're not bad. Jeremy, what have you been playing? I didn't mean to interrupt your thing to tell a story about a guy dying of asphyxiation in space, but...
I've been playing League of Legends, not as much as Zach, because I'm still behind him, but it's the opposite of last week, where I was on a 5-game winning spree until yesterday, the last game I played, when I lost. So hopefully that doesn't start another losing spree.
So that is
do you
much
think you might have raised your MMR back out of the dumpster where it ended up after your 13-game losing streak?
Maybe. That last game, both my top lane and my bottom lane lost by more than 3 kills. So there wasn't much I could
do. Wow. What were you on?
I was on Lee Sin, trying to go around, help my top lane, go mid to help, go bottom to watch them not die, then go back to top to try and fight.
Have you insect anybody yet?
No, I'm bad at insecting.
Insecting?
Insec is a Korean player who's very good on Lee Sin. It's kind of hard to explain what it is without knowing Lee Sin. But basically, Lee Sin has a dash, which can go to a friendly character or ward, and his ultimate knocks people back. He also has a move that teleports to an enemy. So insecting is teleporting to the enemy, putting a ward behind them, hopping to the ward and ulting them back into your team.
Oh man, that sounds awesome.
It is pretty awesome when you can do it.
The thing is, Lee Sin is one of those champions that if you watch somebody who's good on him, it looks really cool.
But it's hard as hell to pull off.
When you actually pick him up, it's like, this guy's actually really, really hard, considering I haven't insect anybody either, and I've played a lot of Lee Sin lately.
I've insect some bots, but that doesn't count.
Doing anything against bots doesn't
count. I like
count.
That this guy is good enough that the move is named after him.
Well, yeah, a mad life is when you get someone with a hook after they flash, and you predict where they're going to flash and land the hook.
I've actually mad lifed a couple of times on Thresh, but I haven't.
And Faker is when you're Faker and everyone agrees you're the best player because you're Faker.
Yeah.
Sounds like a sweet move.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I'm really looking forward to when they bring out the updated Summoner's Rift.
This is completely random, but speaking of Team Four Star Let's Plays, have you seen Broforce?
I think
you told
Broforce,
me about it a while ago.
I have seen a little bit of that on Husky's channel.
That looks so ridiculous.
We should Let's Play that sometime. I haven't been playing that. I've been playing the upcoming assignment a lot. I guess that's it, actually. I feel like there was something else besides this assignment and the next. Maybe not. Like I said, getting a jump start on the next assignment because it's nice and meaty. This isn't something I've been playing, but it's exciting. The Wii U now has a coming soon feature, and they're putting Minish Cap on the Wii U Virtual Console.
I've never played Minish Cap.
I haven't either. It's like the one Zelda game that's like would be hard for me to get and play, and now it's going to be $7. And that's not hard for me to get or play. So
that's
I'm super
awesome.
Excited.
I also haven't played the, I haven't played Spirit Tracks. I have played Phantom Hourglass, but...
I haven't played Spirit Tracks or Phantom Hourglass, but my brother owns both of them, so it would be trivial for me to play them.
I thought you played pretty much every Zelda game, Jeremy.
No, I didn't do the handheld ones because when I was in high school and had to choose my video games, console games seemed better.
Yeah, I didn't have a Game Boy Advance, so...
And Minish Cap got... It was not underproduced, but, you know, Nintendo games, people typically don't want to resell them. So Minish Cap went way up in value if you wanted a used copy.
Due to scarcity.
And so I was just like, yeah, I guess I just won't play handheld Zeldas because I wanted to play that one.
I thought it was just because nobody wanted to take them off their hands.
I would. And also, Phantom Hourglass is a sequel to Wind Waker, which is a game I've started like 5 times and something shiny has distracted me. So I always was like, I'll play that after Wind Waker and have Wind Waker on 2 consoles now. Still haven't played it.
Hold on.
To be fair, Phantom Hourglass has really no direct correlation other than being the same iteration of Link.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and I'm not one of the people who has Ocarina of Time on 4 different consoles and hasn't played it. So I, in fact, have it on 3 and have played it on 2 of them.
I have it on... One, somewhere in my house, it's your copy, and I've never played it.
If we count that, I only have it on 2, and I've played it on 2, so.
I actually have it on 2, although the copy of it that I inherited is not actually mine, it's like Alex's brother's or something, but...
Yeah, is that the GameCube one?
I have an N64 card.
Ah, okay.
I also have the GameCube Master Collection, so.
That's my preferred version of the game, I think.
Well, that and it's got Majora's Mask on there.
But Tyler, what have you been playing?
All the games. Actually, as we've been talking, I've been thinking of all the things I've been playing. I'm like, God damn, I played a lot of games. But so I played something with Ed recently that wasn't Hammerwatch. But since I can remember Hammerwatch, I might as well talk about it. So Hammerwatch is a dungeon crawl, essentially, but there aren't. The way you do character progression is by gathering money, and money just drops from
that
enemies.
That sounds like a standard dungeon crawl.
Yeah, well, but there's
XP
no like
XP is usually a system.
Yeah, there's
too,
no but, there's no XP.
But that makes sense to me.
Like the way you get new moves is pay for them, and so it's really simple. It's strangely addicting. There are only 4 character classes though, and I feel like it would benefit from a wider range, especially since one of them kind of sucks balls. But
Diablo 3 disagrees with you.
I thought Diablo 3 had like 6.
Diablo 3, I think, has 4.
Oh.
Yeah, the problem with Hammerwatch, though, is that one of the classes is severely underbalanced compared to the other ones.
How so?
It just way less ranged, less powerful moves, like all the other classes.
So it's the hard mode class.
Yeah, essentially. Like, there's a Paladin who is an excellent melee character. Actually, the game reminds me a lot of Gauntlet. I don't know why, because it's not very that similar, but...
Although Gauntlet is a dungeon crawl.
Yeah, and there are monster spawners, so maybe that's why. But, so you got a Paladin who's, like, a super good close-range character, but his special move... until you get better defense stuff, and by that point he becomes a tank of ungodly good caliber. But early game he's not very good because his special move is just dash and do some damage while dashing. It's mediocre. Wizard, who throws AoE fireballs and has a flamethrower as a special move, he's amazing. The flamethrower is OP. Thief, who... Well, wait, is this Thief? No, it's Ranger. Ranger has a bow that covers the range is the entire map, which is awesome. The Wizard's fireballs only go, like, a quarter of the map at a time. But the Ranger goes full map, and its special is leave a bomb and do a backflip away from it. So it's great for taking out... Or crowd control. That's the term we use for that. It's great for crowd control. And the other one is the Thief, who does kind of like mediocre melee damage, and their range attack consumes money. But given that money is also your way of advance, like it does a lot of damage, but I don't feel that it's worth the amount of money.
So they're a
use.
Bard?
Yeah, essentially.
Or Goyamon?
Yeah, they're more like Goyamon, but...
Mystical Ninja Goyamon, not Lupin the Third Goyamon.
Yeah, no, definitely not. Is Lupin the Third Goyamon the samurai?
Yeah.
Okay. But, yeah, so the Thief feels kind of underbalanced, given that the way they do the most damage also prevents them from getting better at doing damage, so... I don't know. The big draw of the game, though, is the combo system, where, at first, if you get 10 kills or more within, like, half a second between kills, you activate superpower mode, where you do, like, double damage, and you can add effects to it as you progress through the game and make it easier to get and stuff, which makes multiplayer kind of awkward, because it's hard to get a combo if your friends are continuously stealing your kill, so...
Coordination, bro!
Yeah, it's mostly like, it feels like it plays better if, like, two of you each take a room and clear it that way, but I don't know. So, I don't know, it's fun, and Ed has, like, 8 free keys still, because he got it twice in a Humble Bundle, or 2 different Humble Bundles.
Ah.
Anyway, the other game I got is, I'll talk about Mario Kart in a moment, but... Because I got Mario Kart, I got Pikmin 3 for free, and it is hands down my favorite Pikmin game, so it's really good, and it makes perfect use of the tablet, and...
I like Pikmin, but it causes me stress I don't like.
This game is the most stressful Pikmin game ever, by a long shot.
How is it stressful?
It's, you have 30 in-game days to get to play, basically, and so it's a prioritizing what you want sort of game, and it's very easy to get what you need to, in air quotes, win, but then there's lots of optional stuff for better endings, and... So the real challenge of the game is how much can I get?
Yeah, it's like,
and that I don't like. I mean, I like it as a system, but it causes me stress I don't like, and it stops being fun about halfway in.
Like an RTS, it's mostly about resource management and making sure you're most effectively using your... It's basically an RTS. It's just non... This one,
I'll
you
take
have...
my Marines against your Pikmin any day of the week.
And you would lose.
Hey, I would play a mod that added Pikmin as a balanced army to StarCraft. Their resource gathering would be really weird in a StarCraft sense. There would just be shoes on the map and bottle caps that you had to send your workers to. Oh man, I want this really bad now.
Hear that, Blizzard? There you go. I got another Heroes of the Storm character for you, too. Olimar.
Now, this one focuses around similarly diminutive characters, but from a different planet where they only eat fruit. So, and they have really bad planning, so they're running out of food and different, like, they didn't do crop rotation, so, like, all their crops are dying. So they got sent off to another planet to go find fruit. And they find Pikmin, yada yada. You get 3 different captains at a time, though, and you can have them working independently of each other.
Huh.
So, and that's actually why it causes me so much stress, is because it's
what
hard.
What captain do I go with?
Well, it's not necessarily what captain do you go with, but how do you most effectively split up 3 people between 100 Pikmin and have them do everything in such a way that you're not wasting time?
So you have a flat Pikmin resource that you assign to each captain?
There is 100 total that can be in the field, so.
Oh,
which
okay.
is the same as the first game,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wasn't thinking.
So, and they added new types of Pikmin. There are flying Pikmin, which are the best thing ever.
They like the white and the purple ones from the second game where you have to find the actual flowers for them?
You actually had to find the actual flowers for every single Pikmin in this game, so you don't start with any.
Like, outside your ship, when you land for a day, the 3 Pikmin spawn things don't follow you around?
Oh, no, no. Oh, did the white and black ones never, like, join?
I never really played Pikmin 2, but I thought that was how it was. You had to find the actual flowers on the level to turn them into those.
Yeah, no, you do have to do that. You have to go find the onion. But after that day ends, the onion actually... And this one merges with your main onion, which is one improvement that I like. You don't have separate ones for different colors.
That is kind of cool from a time-saving perspective.
Yeah, I don't think the onions existed for the white and the purple ones last in the second game.
I never played Pikmin 2.
I didn't play it either, so I'm
pretty sure they did, and I did play that game. So.
Well, I'm talking from a what I recall somebody mentioning at one point, so I could be wrong entirely.
No, the big thing is the first day you find the onion, you always have to go back to where you found it, which is kind of annoying, but I don't know. It's a really fun game. I really like it, and there's no flat time limit. You're instead limited by how much food you have left, so one of the resources you have to gather in addition to trying to progress the story is gathering food to make sure you don't starve.
That's kind
of
cool. So you have like a... It's sort of like getting checkpoints in a race game, but a much more interesting mechanic.
And you can always go back to a previous day, but you lose your forward progress if you do that.
Yeah.
Oh no, it's a lot of fun. I'm really, for the price of essentially $30, because I split the difference with Mario Kart, it's a pretty good game.
I think it's just $40 anyway.
Oh, what, Pikmin?
I think so. I know it was cheaper than a full, like a standard retail game.
It is older, too, so. Huh. The other thing I've been playing that isn't Mario Kart, because I'm saving that for last, because Luigi Death Stares. I've been playing a lot of the Attack on Titan tribute game, and I've honed my skills. I am really good at doing, like, way complicated techniques and, like, flying around like a crazy person and out of midair, latching onto the back of a Titan's neck. Okay, let me go back a step. They introduced a new update recently, and they temporarily got rid of single player, although they added it back in mostly for training purposes. But they host now just tons of public servers, all hosted off of one box somehow. I don't know. There's, like, 90 to 100 of them. But anyway, so I finally got up the balls to play in an internet game with someone, and not just an internet game that requires a huge amount of skill to be considered semi-decent at. Turns out I'm way better than everyone else on the internet, so it's kind of disappointing. But
would brag about it.
Yeah, well.
Well, that's because I feel as though a lot of people who have paid attention to Attack on Titan don't know that thing exists, so they don't actually play it that much.
There were... I don't know, there are probably close to 2,000 people on those servers at any given point, which is, and given that the rooms are ranging in size from like 5 to 10, that's a lot of different games going on. But the average skill quality is higher than I expected based on how many people in the forums were ranting about it, but lower than I expected due to that, so, I don't know, it's a
using
fun...
Using forums to gauge skill level is a really bad way to do it, because if I did that...
Yeah, people are always bitching forums about how everything sucks and they're the worst. And...
That was like the tutorials forum. It's like, I've noticed a lot of people don't know how to do these things. I'm going to make videos to show people how to do these things. I'm like, oh, well, this is all really basic stuff. Do people really not know how to do this? Turns out, yeah, they really don't know how to do that. So, but some of them are pretty decent. But they added it also in this update, you can play it as a Titan. It's limited to one person per every four. So in a 10-person server, you can have as many as two humans playing Titans. And they're ridiculously overpowered, but I managed to take them down in almost all the matches I played against one.
Well,
so.
That's because you have something that is basically an invincible walking juggernaut, and it's controlled by a human intelligence, therefore making it extremely powerful.
Yeah, they are so... Oh, and they can jump infinitely high, and if they hit you at any point during that arc, they kill you. It's not infinitely high, but it's higher than you can go on the map using the 3DG, so... It's a fun game, though. I should definitely get you in on a match sometime, because Killing Titans rocks.
I have 57 LP that I need.
Well, I know what you're doing this weekend. Actually, you're coming to my house this weekend.
Yes, I am.
But the last game I've been playing is Mario Kart 8, and I don't really have a whole lot to say about it, but there are a couple... It's a good game. I feel like it is not a huge improvement over the Wii one, though, so...
That's typically the case with Mario Kart. When was the last time there was a huge improvement? I guess 64? Double Dash was very interesting and different, but...
Was Double Dash the last one past 64? Because it was way the hell better than the 64.
Yeah, they're all pretty mediocre. But,
okay, so Ed had the same problem you have about how it's, like, really rubber bandy. I am never not in first in that game, and I don't know how people complain about rubber banding in Mario Kart. I was thinking about it, and it...
It's got, like, rubber banding mechanics with the blue shell and everything, but I definitely agree with you.
No,
skill
biggest...
definitely plays... It's very similar to Super Smash Bros., where there are random elements, but that doesn't dissipate the skill. It just means you have to play with those in mind.
I feel like technical competence way compensates for it, and I think the only reason that you experience a rubber banding effect is because you're in the middle of the pack. Then you get screwed over, but...
And a problem comes in real competition when you have 12 people equally good.
That
then
I could see.
It starts to get really rubber bandy, and it starts to become a lot about not sandbagging, but because better items come to you the further back you are, there becomes a real strategy for being, like, in eighth, but close enough to the pack that you can burst through at the right moment.
But as an experiment, in the middle of the second lap, I dropped down to last place. I just stopped in the middle of the track and let everyone pass me, and I was able to get back up to first. So, and this was against, like, other human players on a server, so...
That means terrible people.
Yeah, there's that. I can also do it against the computers, though, so...
That means really terrible AI.
Or I'm just good. I am pretty good at Mario Kart, to be fair, so... You're giving me a look.
We could, well, the bots in League are pretty bad AI, but we could give the bots a 5-minute head start and still be fine. Whereas if we did that to players, we would probably not be fine. Then again, there are certain players that we probably could give a 5-minute head start.
I could give Cody a 5-minute head start and still beat him at the end.
And I think that's a level of relative skill. I am way better at Mario Kart than a lot of people, and I don't feel it's nearly as much a game of chance as people who are worse than me do. So
try doing something like that and like Need for Speed.
I have, actually. One of the most wanted, anyway. I gave one of the, I don't even know what you call them, like the most wanted rival people. I gave them a minute head start once and caught up to them.
I've never done that.
But I don't think I could get away with that in a slightly more realistic racing game like Gran Turismo or something. I think you would get...
When I said that, I was thinking Need for Speed Shift, which is like the realistic Need for Speed. But I didn't specify.
No, and I think the effect becomes more, the amount of technical skill required to do well definitely increases with the more realism of the racing game.
Forza, try and run like the top tier thing in Forza. It's where you got to go 80 miles an hour or else you'll start to spin in the middle of a turn.
That's
If you get on the throttle at the wrong time in one of those, you start spinning like just right out.
Just like in real life.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's a lot of fun.
But, I don't know, one of my favorite things to do in almost all racing games is just do time trials and just master the course.
Oh,
so
yeah, I do that too.
But I do that in Mario Kart, and I think that kind of gives me an edge over the vast majority of people who just play Mario Kart. But I do have a couple gripes about it. I'll keep them fairly brief because none of them are super substantive. But there aren't specific unlocks for any of the characters. Like, you don't have to meet certain requirements.
What?
Yeah,
why?
So there are some number of characters. The way you unlock them is complete one of the cups on one of the difficulties that you have not done before.
And then you get pick a character to unlock?
No, it's random.
Huh.
And that feels really cheesy to me.
It's not great. I don't really think it's that different, but
no,
I guess if
but...
there's a specific character you want, you
can't
really...
Well, that's not
really...
that big of a deal that it's a random unlock. It just feels weird that rather than have, like, say, a second costume or a second cart that you can unlock for a character... But maybe that's because everything I've done that has, like, unlocks and whatnot has stuff like that where you can unlock a second, like, ship or whatever, or boat. Cart.
Well, and you can unlock new carts, and everyone can pilot all the same carts on, like, the V1, so my problem with it, and maybe it's just because I'm habituated to it, is I like specific goals to unlock things. That's one of the reasons I like FTL so much. It's not random when you unlock it. Imagine if
it
FTL
feels
was...
like it.
Imagine if FTL, though, was every time you beat the game, or every time you got to Sector 8, you unlocked a new ship. It just wouldn't feel the same.
It would feel like I'm doing something other than trying to beat my head against the wall.
Well, fair enough. I mean, you don't actually have to beat the game in order to unlock most of the ships, so...
Yeah, but I gotta get lucky enough to find that quest.
Yeah, details. So that's one thing. You can also race against non-unlocked characters before you unlock them.
I'm ambivalent on that, because that's sort of like previewing them. Being like, hey, yeah, this character is in this game, so you can believe random Joe on the playground when he says he unlocked Pink Gold Peach.
Who is totally a character, and it's awesome. I unlocked Metal Mario. That's the only weird one I've done. I think I've got all Bowser's kids because for some reason they needed to be in this game.
They have fans. They're not me. They're not anyone at this table, but they have fans.
I'm trying to think of any game that I know of that hasn't really employed unlocked characters in games like that in single player occasionally.
Like, what do you mean like that? You mean just unlocking characters in...
No, the characters that aren't unlocked yet appearing in a single player format.
I can't think of any other game.
Smash Bros. Does it with a few characters. They do it with like Jigglypuff and Luigi. Like the first Smash Brothers Luigi you face on level 3, even if you haven't unlocked him.
Oh.
But
that's totally right. Oh no, I feel like and you unlock new parts, but they added coins in this, which give you a very small boost every time you pick them up. But you can only carry 10 per track, I think, as a way of limiting your progress towards unlocking things, which is also kind of cheesy. But they give you a very slight boost, and like after 50,000 coins or something retarded like that, you get the last random part enhancement.
Okay.
They're all fairly balanced, so just because you poured a ton of time into the game doesn't mean that you have better parts. They just look nice. They're gold, so.
Having not played it yet, it's hard for me to say, but it does look good. The now you're a jet stuff seems cool, if not super different gameplay-wise.
Yeah, it all feels like they have a hover mode thing, and it doesn't really feel any different. Like, you can even lose speed going over rough terrain in a hovercraft somehow. I don't understand that, but the different things that they added don't really feel that different, but they're not bad. I've definitely learned to exploit them, so there is that. I don't know, it's definitely a good game. And especially if you're interested in one of the free games they're offering with it until the end of, like, July
June.
Or something. Is it the end of June?
I think it's June 30th is the last day to buy Mario Kart and get a sweet bonus.
Yeah, so, I don't know, $30 for two fairly high-quality games.
Well, $30 each.
Yeah, no, $30 each, because it's still $60. But that's not the racing game we played this week.
No, we played a better racing game this week.
We played a different arcade racer game that I don't think anyone can say is objectively better. Hydro Thunder. And we played Hydro Thunder Hurricane, the Seaquake Me-Make thing.
The Seaquake?
The Seaquake. The Seaquake 2. That's what you call it, right? I want that to be a term now. To Hydro Thunder, because our valiant journalist who said, hey, they remade Hydro Thunder, didn't do his research.
To be fair, the first person who said they remade Hydro Thunder was Tyler.
It was? I don't recall. I don't even know what this game was. Are you sure about that?
Yeah, because you were the one who found the page that was list of Xbox remakes. So, at the very least, I picked a game that I didn't realize wasn't necessarily on a virtual console, and as such, these guys have said I cannot pick a game for the next 2 weeks. So,
yes, that is your punishment.
Diabolical.
Hydro Thunder is a racing game about cool boats. And yep. By boats, I mean things that are on water and go vroom.
There are a couple of actual boats.
They look a lot like F-Zero racers to me, with like the really jagged
hovercrafts. Only they hover over water.
Some of them are actually, and there's quite a few of them that are actually like boats.
Boats.
Yeah. I can only think of the one that's like a sea cruiser, that's the size of a rowboat, though.
But it's called the sea cruiser.
Like, it's like an ocean liner that I don't remember what it's called.
But it's the size of a rowboat.
It's a little bigger than that, but it's like it's very narrow.
Oh, I know.
It's taller than all the other boats. Oh, but
I know what he's talking about, I think.
Although I've got to say, the entire time you were talking about Hydro Thunder, I'm like, yeah, that's an awesome game. I was thinking of Wave Race. So,
Wave Race is a game available on the Wii Virtual Console.
But it's a racing game, so you're looking to cross the finish line first.
Press go.
And it's also on water, which is cool.
I guess.
I enjoy it.
It's different, if nothing else. Isn't it?
It's not, I mean, it's visually different, which is cool and gives it an advantage, but I don't see gameplay-wise, it's that much different.
Oh, yeah, it is.
It definitely feels more floaty.
A little.
Maybe more buoyant.
Like, you are still going through a track and making turns and slowing down before really sharp turns.
The way they have the water working in the game, it actually plays a big part in things. Because there are events in certain points in the game and just following somebody. If you hit a wave at the wrong point, it'll send you flying into the air and you can't turn.
Which might throw you off the course or into a wall or something.
You don't get knocked off the course, but it can throw you into a wall.
Off the course.
Yeah, you can land nose in and you can't go anywhere because the engine is out of the water and you'll just...
Well, and air control is a stat that all the boats have in addition to handling on water. But I don't see how that's like different than oil slicks. Or something that a land game could introduce.
I think the reason that it's, I guess, beneficial is because, basically, product differentiation in a land dominated by racier games on land. Well, oh, wow, okay, that was redundant.
That was horrible.
Yeah, okay, let me rephrase that. In the world where all racing games occur on ground, one racing game is actually in space, and they've got another one. Okay, never mind.
And Diddy Kong Racing, you had ground races, air races, and water races.
Yeah.
That was pretty sweet.
The difference between, like, putting in oil slicks or anything like that is the track is neutral. If you put in, like, oil slicks, those are typically pickups and power-ups.
They don't have to be, though. They could just be oil on the track.
Mach Rider did that.
Those don't move, though.
You could come up with something that does. You could have people going on the racetrack the other way. You can introduce obstacles like that.
When he said people going, I thought he meant pedestrians for some reason.
You could have pedestrians. You could have people on horseback if you wanted. I'm not saying that would make a good game. I mean, it's fine. It's a good game. It's the best racing game we have played for this podcast, if you want me to damn it with faint praise. But I still don't find racing games to be all that engaging unless you can get missiles to throw at your opponents.
Yeah, you've never been keen on those.
Yeah, again, they don't put me to sleep. Like this one, I did not literally fall asleep playing this game, but I really got drowsy playing it. And it has cool stuff to keep you engaged, like shortcuts and cool unlock mechanisms where you get money that goes up as you go, that unlocks new courses and boats. And they added in multiple gameplay modes for every map. There's a race, a go through rings, and you lose time if you don't hit the rings, and you gain boost if you go through them. And a, like, there are mines now, don't get hit by mines mode.
That is one thing that we jumped over, though. There's only one power-up, and that's boost, which you
use it to get through.
picking up like
box
canisters,
things.
They're like CO2 canisters just floating in the air.
Oh, well, on the old one, they're basically question mark
it
blocks.
It seemed to me like the AI was always using boost too, because there were a lot of times where I would be holding down the boost button, starting to pass someone, and barely making any progress the whole time. And I was able to finish most races in first, so it wasn't like that big of a deal. But
did you just try and drive next to people?
Often, or I would try to go around them.
Did you ever follow right behind them for
a while?
Yeah,
and it's like, yeah, nice drafting. Or
that's how you generally catch people, is you get behind them and draft.
But that's not how you pass people, because physics.
So I never had any problems passing anybody.
You get behind them.
I only got one race where I didn't get first, so obviously I didn't either. But it felt to me like
the boost wasn't substantially boosting enough.
Yeah, it didn't feel that big. It felt like something you needed rather than something that's a bonus, which is not a bad mechanic per se, but it doesn't feel like a power-up. It feels like a mechanic.
Which the game feels like it would be more prone to power-ups.
Necessarily.
Oh, well. The announcer's voice tells me that this is a game with power-ups, but
it's only got the one, which is boost. But
I know.
I find it entertaining enough. At least one thing's cool. When you pick up boost, if you don't have it, your boat changes a little bit, and it actually activates your engines.
Yeah, and you can't boost until that animation is over.
Mm-hmm. Which means you want to keep just a little bit of boost whenever.
So that you don't
have
to wait that lag time.
Yeah, and because if you just have a little bit of boost, you can jump. So when you need to use the jump to get into some of the secret areas.
And to get boost frequently. A lot of the boost placement is in places where you have to, like, jump.
So you use the boost to get boost.
Yeah, sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes. Jeremy's exaggerating a little bit as to how much you need to jump to access boost.
I just feel like a lot of the tracks have the first boost you need jump, so you can't get it on the first lap. Not to say you can't get any, but the first boost placement is in a place where you need to jump, so you can't get it the first lap, but subsequent laps when you have boost, it's super easy to get.
That depends. Certain tracks don't even have laps.
That's true. Most tracks, I feel like, actually don't have laps.
Most of them don't. As far as I can tell, there's only 3 out of 8. There's not that many tracks.
For like mid-90s random arcade game about racing, it's a pretty solid game.
I enjoyed it in the arcade, and I enjoyed this one a lot. I played the hell out of this game. I unlocked all the boats and all the tracks. I played it enough to do that, which is pretty impressive for me.
That's more than I've played Mario Kart. This Mario Kart.
This Mario Kart probably has arguably more content, since, you know, it's a game that came out in 2014, opposed to one that came out when Hydro Thunder came out, but
that's an interesting... Would this game benefit from rocket launchers?
No.
Maybe?
Having played Bloodwake, I can quite solidly say no.
Wait, it's a racing game on water called Bloodwake.
No, it was closer to Twisted Metal.
Oh, okay.
With boats.
Okay. Well, that's mildly disappointing, but so.
Given how many straightaways are... There's a lot of straightaways in the course design. Like, oftentimes you'll like jump down a waterfall and have a straightaway, and I feel like rockets there might make it more interesting. But I'm not going to say for sure, yes, rockets would make it more interesting. I just know I'd rather play almost any Mario Kart than this. And part of that is actually just because the course design is more varied. Not that it's not varied here, but you're kind of limited to places where there are water just because of the premise of the game.
I thought all the courses have a fairly distinct...
They have a distinct color palette, if nothing else.
And they all have a distinct... In my opinion, a distinct method of navigation, but the layout is vastly different. And each one tends to have one or a few interesting points that change things around quite a bit.
The first two courses seemed really samey to me. After that, I agree with you. But Lake Powell and
Storming Asgard?
Yeah, they seemed like, oh, hey, you're in an industrial-ish area, and there are walls around you, and it's kind of dark.
Well, Storming Asgard has the big Viking dude at the end, too.
Well, yeah, it has those axes that are coming down to block you. It has that cool point, but...
I was thinking of the big dude that causes a massive wave near the end.
I don't recall that, but I believe
a really, really... like he's like a frost giant that causes a massive wave at the last big open area.
I think arcade games need set pieces like... or arcade racing games need set pieces like that to make the tracks memorable at all, though. Because, tracks that don't have, a neat visual element, I just forget.
Area 51's really cool, which you didn't get to.
I did not.
I feel
that's
like
an awesome...
That's part of why Mario Kart is good, though, is not every track obviously has that. Mario Raceway is intentionally kind of boring, but it's made to look like an Indy 500 track. But then you have Bowser's Castle, which can have like a giant Bowser statue room that you circle around while he shoots fireballs at you. And you can have like a Donkey Kong one with barrels that shoot you out. Visually, Mario, because like we talked about earlier, each level has its own aesthetic. That translates really well to a racing game.
Or just most games. It's really cliched, but oh no, I still think Aliens.
The last track in this one that you unlock is Area 51. You go through a portal and there's a small segment on an alien world, an alien river, which is kind of fun.
That sounds pretty awesome.
Has been said, I like racing games. I like standard racing games like Forza and Need for Speed. I actually don't like Mario Kart in the slightest. Because of the same reasons you enjoy Mario Kart. And this game seemed right up the same alley as the arcade-ish racers that I enjoy, like Need for Speed Most Wanted.
Which is a freaking amazing game.
It is.
Is Most Wanted... Which one is the one that takes place all at night?
You just described most Need for Speed games.
Yeah, I cannot stand that.
Most Wanted is actually one of the only ones that I know of that takes place exclusively during the day.
So I can believe that game is good. But whichever Need for Speed game I played, you guys were like, oh, Most Wanted is great. So I played the next one. Carbon, maybe? Carbon sounds right. God, that game was bad.
Carbon's actually
pretty good. Anything that's going on. The missions are boring. Cars are boring.
Again, that's...
You should play Most Wanted.
Carbon is exclusively a racing game. Most Wanted is a lot more arcadey than Carbon is.
Yeah, so I believe that there are any good Need for Speed games, but I don't believe I can play them.
Carbon is very good, actually. It's one of the better ones.
So, final thoughts on Hydro Thunder. I believe it's free with gold this week.
It might be. I'm not sure.
It might have been. It's probably worth a download, but at $15, I can't say that I think it's worth the money.
I'd say it's worth it. If you enjoy racing games...
I would say there are probably better racing games for that money that exists, but where do you want to spend your time?
I don't want to spend it on a racing game.
Okay, well, I was looking at you because there's space
there.
Yeah,
I know.
I just, like, compared to other racing games of a similar price point that you could probably find now, is this actually better than them?
Having not played any $15 racing games...
Okay, there's that. That hadn't really occurred to me.
I can definitely imagine better $15 racing games, but that doesn't mean they're out there.
Well, I can definitely say it's better than Cruising USA, so.
Yeah, it's the best $15 racing game I've played in a long time.
Oh yeah, it's way better than Cruising.
Anyway.
What's up next? What am I going to hate you for this time, Jeremy?
You may not hate this.
Yeah, hopefully not. Except for that I want him to actually play it, and so putting him in salt mines might actually make him, like, because he's spending his time on it, he might hate it. Since I already got a head start because Hydro Thunder was not a game I liked that much, and also, I mean, you said you consumed the entire game in a week, so there's not a whole lot there, better or for worse.
I'm going to play more Hydro Thunder. I'm not done with that game by any stretch of the imagination.
But you have unlocked everything, right?
No.
You haven't?
There's a bunch
of
boats. I've unlocked all the tracks and all the boats. I have not unlocked all the boat skins.
Oh.
Ah.
And I've not.
I guess it is content.
And I haven't completed all of the track, all of like the special track modes. Like I haven't done Gauntlet or Ringmaster on a bunch of the tracks.
But since I'm not really playing anything, and it's time we played something nice and meaty, we're gonna do The Legend of Zelda: A Link to the Past, a game many people consider the best game of all time. I think that's overselling it by quite a bit.
Well, people also say that about Ocarina, so...
Yeah, and Ocarina I buy a lot more, but...
So, pretty cool game, bros. You get to fight Ganons and not afraid of anything.
Yeah, you get to introduce the Master Sword for the first time.
Da-da-da-da.
You gotta get it.
That is true, although it's kind of anticlimactic. But we'll leave that for when we get there,
yeah.
So...
If we get there.
Come on, you can get to the Master Sword. It's like 3 hours into the game. Although there is one puzzle that is required to get to it that I was like, huh, oh, I remember this puzzle. Huh. I wonder how long it took me the first time. Because remembering it, I was like, oh, this is obvious. But not having ever done it, I don't know if it would be the same. But anyway, next time on Last Time, A Link to the Past, a game too good for a stupid joke. This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games. Copyright 2014.
All the video games and other media mentioned herein are copyright of their respective owners.
Unfortunately, I don't own Square Enix. You can contact us at LTOVG at lasttimeonvideogames.com, or Tyler at lasttimeonvideogames.com,
or Jeremy, G-E-R-E-M-Y, at lasttimeonvideogames.com,
and the best one, Zach at lasttimeonvideogames.com.
Our primary source of interaction is LastTimeOnVideoGames.com, where you can find all sorts of written material in addition to the podcast.
If you want to follow us on Google+, plus.google.com/plus Last Time on Video Games.
If you're one of those weird people who uses Twitter, we are at LTOVG.
Quick, press X. Too late. You failed. The podcast is over.